get your Bibles out, turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Psalm 92, we're going to read the first five verses together. What was that, Brother Scott?
Baptist Shine.
Baptist Shine, yeah. I had somebody, I sent some pictures, and they said, I thought you hillbillies used outhouses. I said, we're not hillbillies, we're Hill Williamses. We're educated hillbillies. Man, you can use all the outhouses you want. I'm glad I got one inside. Especially in the cold and especially in the summer. All right, Psalm 92, we'll read the first five verses. Let's read responsively. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For the Lord hath made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And let's finish on verse 5. Ready? O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. Holy Spirit, please. We stand before you needy. We're sinful. And God, I know that I need your help today. God, I pray that you just use my mouth, use my voice, use the thoughts that you have given me to help these, your people, please, in Jesus' name. Now, I need your attention. You can keep your Bibles open and take notes as you need, but I really need your attention this morning. Most people don't live life. They survive it. Most people let life happen to them. They don't live it. Most people react to life. They don't live it. Most people really don't live life with any purpose. They just kind of drift through it. It's kind of like a boat with no rudder. They just kind of go wherever the current takes them. And if it stops, they stop. If it picks up, they pick up. If it hits something, they run into it. That's kind of how most people live their lives. May I say this? I don't believe that's the way God intended us to live life. God doesn't want us floating down the river of life just following the current.
That's right.
I don't know how else to say it, but God doesn't live that way. God doesn't live in reactionary forces. God lives with purpose. God lives with a plan and adjusts as needed. God does not let the changes affect him. Did you know God wasn't put out because man sinned? God's life didn't change, man's did. Did you know when Adam died, it didn't affect God adversely? God didn't die, Adam did. I don't mean that unkindly, but if you think through it, God's not affected by the changes of life like we allow ourselves to be. In other words, we let external circumstances, or as Brother Mike very well said in Sunday school this morning, as happenings happen to us, we think that's what life's all about. No. Let me try to explain it this way. I think I can get down where we all live. God wants us to make life like a recipe. Now, how many of you know what a recipe is? All right, I'm not talking about what the ladies on the Waltons drank either. How many of you remember that? The two old ladies drinking the moonshine. All right, the recipe. A recipe is, my wife was doing some cooking and some baking yesterday, and I helped her. Aren't I such a good husband? Aren't I proud of me? All right. But a recipe is something that is followed so that you have the same result every time. In other words, if you follow the recipe and you follow the ingredients, everything comes out the right way. Makes sense to everybody? You say, well, I did it once and it didn't work. Then you didn't do it as the recipe said. In other words, you follow the same process to get the same results. Make sense to everybody? There are certain things that you do. In other words, if you're going to make oatmeal raisin cookies, you don't follow the recipe for making brownies.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you follow the recipe for making brownies, you're going to get brownies, not oatmeal raisin cookies.
That's right.
Now, either may be good, but if you are going to make oatmeal raisin cookies, you got to follow the recipe for oatmeal raisin cookies. That just makes sense, correct? Can I tell you something? The principles of the Word of God are just like recipes. When we follow God's principles, we're following a recipe in order to get the same result. Make sense to everybody? In other words, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we show God we love him? We obey. To the children, when my kids were growing up, if they disobeyed, I would say, you don't love mom, you don't love dad. Oh, yes, we do. No, you don't. You hate us. God says if you love, you'd obey. I'd take them to the verse. If you can't obey mom and dad, how are you going to obey God someday? They hate those speeches. Oh, they hated them. Now they're thankful for them. But they hated them at the time. By the way, I didn't like them either. Nobody likes to look at their child and say, you disobeyed me, you don't love me. But I had to show sin exceedingly sinful, to teach them the principle of obedience is love, not disobedience. And if they can't love mom and dad, how are they going to love God? Everybody understand that? We sometimes think we can change the recipe because we're the exception to the recipe. It doesn't work that way. Can I tell you something? If you run out of baking powder and substitute baking soda for it, it's not coming out right.
No.
Matter of fact, it's going to get kind of nasty. It's going to get foamy. It's going to get flat. I'm going to be nice. My wife cooked today, and I plan on eating. So I was going to go back 30 years, but we will not do that. Man, oh, what was that? I live in hot water. I just didn't need it any hotter. All right. We may not always think things will turn out right. How many of you have ever followed a recipe saying, this sure ain't going to work? And all of a sudden, shazam, there it was and it worked. But while you were doing it, it sure didn't make sense to you. You say, why is that? Well, if you follow the recipe, you don't always understand all the chemical reactions that need to take place. There's a lot of science involved in recipes. You've got your bases and your acids, and you've got these things that will interact with each other, and your liquids and your solids, and if they're not put in at the right time with the right measure and everything else, it's all going to go screwy, haywire, stupid. And you say, why is that? Because all of the chemicals have to be put in at the right time, the right way. You have to have the right temperatures. You have to have all those things involved for it to work that way. In other words, you've got to follow the recipe even when you don't think it's going to turn out right. Can I tell you something? When you follow God's recipe, sometimes you don't think they're going to turn out right. But I can promise you this. God knows more than we know.
Amen.
And you have a better chance of turning out right when you follow God's way, then going by your instinct.
Amen.
God gives us a recipe here in Psalm 92. Let me give you what the title of that recipe is. It's called How to Have a Good Day. God gives us a recipe on how to have a good day. I did not say, listen to this very carefully here. I did not say that everything in every day was going to be good. But I did say God has a recipe to where you can have a good day no matter what the circumstances are.
Amen.
You see, God didn't say there would be no negative. God did not say that there would be no bad things happen. Good night. I've dealt with three deaths this week. Last Sunday night after church, went home and had a kidney stone. Had our 13th birth. 3 from my wife and 10 from me. My 10th kidney stone. Let me tell you, in the middle of a kidney stone, you're not having a good day. I don't care who you are. But guess what? I still had a good day. It was not good, but I still had a good day. You see, let me say it this way. No matter the, according to God, good weather, sunshine, warm temperatures, good things are not the ingredients of a good day. Too many of us determine a good day based on the external, not what's going on internally. Well, it rained. We haven't seen the sun in 2 days. It's going to get windy. You know, can I tell you something? You have 2 perfect days of weather every year. Past that, you're going to be miserable in life. We allow too much external to affect a good or a bad day. I get bad news almost every day of my life. But that doesn't mean I have a bad day. Everybody doing all right? Okay, now hang in there. God's principles of a good day do not include circumstances. So the recipe isn't based on, did you know you can bake a cake and it rains outside and your cake still comes out? Did you know you can make oatmeal cookies when it's snowing and they still come out right? Did you know you can eat ice cream? And it doesn't matter what the weather is, you're happy.
Amen.
So why is it that the external stimuli makes you think that everything's a good day or bad day based on the external? See, we allow too many things from the outside to influence whether we have a good day or not. And God gives us a little recipe here. It's a little, I think, 4 or 5 points, a little five ingredient recipe here. And I want to show you what God's recipe for a good day is. Number one, daily giving thanks.
Amen.
Psalm 92, verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Everybody look at me. That's ingredient number 1. Giving thanks to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. And don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many people in here today at 11:25 have given thanks to God for anything yet today. Let me ask you a question. How many times all week have you? And you wonder why you hadn't had a good day. Now, I'll guarantee everybody in here saw the news, or at least a part of it. You've looked at the weather. You've decided whether you're going to have a good day based on the weather or not. I saw Miss Arlene come in. I said, do you have your wig glued down extra? She said, why? I said, it's going to get windy. She said, really? I said, yeah, really. She said, time to go find more glue. And she doesn't have a wig, don't worry. But I was just teasing with her. And we were enjoying life for a moment. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you thanked God for anything? You know, take time every day to be thankful to God and for your family and to your family.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? When's the last time you took a little piece of paper out, walked around the house, and made a list of things you're thankful for? I'm thankful for hot water this morning and a shower. I'm thankful for an indoor plumbing. Glory to God. I'm thankful that I have my home. I'm thankful for a car that I don't have to get behind on a horse or behind a horse every day. All these green people. Green people turn out brown things too.
Amen.
They want to complain about cow farts. Can you imagine what New York City would be like if everybody rode horses? I spent about a half hour one day doing all the calculations of how much manure you could fill up giant stadium 36 times with manure in a week's worth of manure from horses if everybody in New York City rode horses. They want to complain about cow farts? They don't understand. You could fill up 119 Olympic swimming pools with all the other droppings from the horse. All right? You say, why do you do things like that? It's just fun, all right? It's fun math. I love turning liberals inside out with all those statistics. Now, may I say something? People think, well, we've got to go green. Imagine how much hay you got to feed them puppies. They complain about the exhaust from trucks and cars. Can you imagine what the exhaust you're going to be sitting on top of or behind? We ought to be thankful for what we have. Amen. If your car got you to church and you think it's going to get you home, be thankful. Amen. When's the last time you went around the house and opened up the cupboards and saw all the food that's in there? And were thankful for it. And all opened up your closet and looked at all the clothes that you have. Good night. When's the last time? Okay, this is going to be hurtful, and I'm going to turn this way. When's the last time you were thankful for your job?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I told you I wasn't going to look. We have so much in this world to be thankful for. When's the last time you were thankful for your spouse or your children? Now, if your children are little, you're probably ready to kill them. But past that, you can be thankful. You know, thankful that they moved away. Glory. Thankful you don't have to feed them anymore. Man. Now, wait a minute. There are plenty of things for us to walk around and be thankful for. I thank God every day I don't have to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I'm thankful I get to go to heaven someday. I'm thankful for the Word of God. We have so much to be thankful for. Listen to this very carefully. Why don't you take 5 minutes every day and list things in which to be thankful for, and then take 5 more minutes and thank God for those things. You know, if you took 10 minutes every day out of your day to be thankful, I promise you the day wouldn't be quite as bad.
That's right.
You see, you will not have such a lousy day if you take time to be thankful. Take time daily to be thankful to God. Now, let me say this. I'm going to add to that ingredient just a little bit. Take time every day to be thankful to people that live in your home.
Amen.
I thank my wife, I believe, every day that she cooks. Honey, thank you. Even when I do the grilling outside. Tell you what, I'm thankful she took time to get things ready so we had food to eat. I thank her for many things. I thank her for doing the laundry from time to time. Thank God I can reach in and clothes are clean. Magically, I throw them on the floor and they end up clean in the drawer or on the hanger. Amazing how that works, you know? And I'm thankful for that. You know, there are many things in which to be thankful. You know, some of you ought to be thankful to your children. You say, well, I only had to beat them twice yesterday. Good. Be thankful you only had to beat them twice. Used to be you had to beat them every hour on the hour. And then every half hour just to make sure they were made it to the other half hour. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Some of us need to be thankful to our children in order to teach them to be thankful. While we were sitting there during the offertory, my phone vibrated. My oldest son's in Florida, and he texted me something. It's a picture of my daughter-in-law standing up in front of their Sunday school class. And he said, he had no idea what I was preaching today. So thankful God gave her to me. Whew. Can I tell you where he learned that? He learned it hearing his dad say he was thankful for his wife. And that they needed to be thankful for their mother. And guess what? After 27 years, it finally gets through their thick skull. They get it. Sometimes it's slow freight. Sometimes the train's going backwards, but eventually gets where it's going. You see, learn to take time every day with the people in which you live to be thankful. Did you know it wouldn't hurt you to be thankful at work? When's the last time you thanked your boss for your paycheck? When's the last time you thanked your boss for the ability to work and the hours? When's the last time you thanked somebody who helped you at work? So, well, I work by myself. Well, then you can thank yourself. You know, too many people become unthankful and they wonder why they grumble at work. I'll guarantee the people that are grumbling about how the way things are run aren't telling people at work how thankful they are.
Sure.
Be doing all right? Okay, I'm having fun. I better go to ingredient number two before you barf. So the first ingredient is daily giving thanks. Number two, verse number one, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Notice that's in the same statement. So ingredient one is giving thanks. Ingredient two is singing praises. Okay, everybody look at me. And don't answer out loud. What music do you listen to? What music do you think? What music do you sing? Man's music, worldly music, is based on man. Rock music, rap music, country music, hip hop, easy listening, all of it is about man. Drinking, smoking, drugs, immorality, rebellion, etc., etc., etc. It's about man and man's sinfulness. It is no wonder people are depressed by the music that they listen to. Folks, if you listen to country music, no wonder you're depressed. Good night. The cheating, the smoking, the drinking, the drunkenness, the immorality, who's sleeping with whose wife, how many times, and everything else. And we wonder why we're all messed up. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 8, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. God gives us subcomponents for this recipe. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart as to the Lord. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to teach you something about music today. Hey, hello, there it is. Did you know that music is not for you, it's for God? When you listen to music for you, it's to satisfy your flesh. That's external. When we give music to God, it makes Him happy. And in the process, we get happy too. Do you know why the worldly music does not satisfy in church? Because it doesn't satisfy God. Now everybody will get up and dance around and jig around, and they'll do all their light shows and smoke and mirrors, and they'll have their rock concerts and what they call churches. But may I say something? God's not pleased with that. He told us what He's pleased with: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what you sing at home. That's what you listen to. That's what you hum if you can't sing. Amen. That's what you whistle if you can't even hum. It doesn't matter how you do it, but no wonder the people of the world are depressed. It's no wonder the people of the world, you wonder why people take guns out and go into public places and start shooting people up. Go listen to their music. Listen to the music on the video games that they play. You don't understand, the video games are more dangerous, not just because of the action on it, but the music that's training the brain to go with the action. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Some of you listen to rock music as you play your video games, and if your kids brought the CD home, you'd get angry with them, but you play it while they're playing their games and you don't even recognize it. Okay, we better hit another part here. Amen, that's good, preacher. Can I tell you something? Learn daily to sing praises to God. Now, God talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, listen to me. Let me show you what I mean. Psalms, those are the words of God. Okay? You have a book of psalms. Those are songs. But you can put other scripture to music as well as psalm. When you think of psalms, I think of Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great king. That's not a bad song. God's pleased with it. Then you can put, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Guess what? I'm not thinking about going out and shooting somebody. I'm not thinking about going out and getting drunk. How about Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Hey, it's not how well you sing, but you're singing scripture. It's a great way to memorize scripture. And I didn't do all the bump, 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 bumps, and everything else that goes with it, because it's not just me and God. I'm in public right now. How about Proverbs 3:5-6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you know it? Sing it with me. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, that's not too hard, is it? You got Romans 8:38-39. For I'm persuaded to believe that you can't separate us from the wonderful love of God. From above us, he will love us if we let him live within us, as upon this earth we've trod. Neither light nor death nor principalities, things present nor things to come. And though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. Can I tell you something? That's singing scripture verses. Now, look around. You're smiling. You're laughing. You're not depressed. Say, why is that? Because when you start singing back to God, can you have some fun with it? Oh, yeah. Brother Hiles put Proverbs 3:6 to a tune. He was thinking of the Adams family in Proverbs 3:6 one day. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hey, you can make up your own songs. Don't change the words. But make up your own tune. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to sing the Bible. Then, hymns. There are hundreds of them in the songbook we have. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And on and on and on we go. One of my favorite is Come, thou fount. Another one of my favorite, Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Say, nobody told me they loved me. Well, did you tell God you love him? There are hundreds and hundreds of hymns. Then, spiritual songs. There are many spiritual songs. Commonwealth Tour Group will come through, and we get CDs from them. Those are spiritual songs. There are other spiritual songs. There are songs in your songbooks that I wouldn't call a hymn, but I would call it a spiritual song. One of my favorites is We Shall See Jesus. Man, you talk about me wanting to come unscrewed. I love the words and the thoughts and everything about that. It's just one of those things that gets me ready to go. Thinking about the coming of Jesus. And it's based out of Acts chapter 1, where the angel said, even in that this same Jesus shall come back. We're not going to see another Jesus. It's the same one.
You're right. Amen.
Whew, I get goosebumps. And I'm not going by the external. I know what's on the inside ready to come out at that moment. Spiritual songs. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's a spiritual song. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Can I tell you something? That's a spiritual song. Those are, you say, well, those are kids' songs. Maybe they are, but have fun with them. Old people can sing them too. Some of you, that's the only songs you remember. By the way, this is why the contemporary Christian music scene and the Christian rock music is as bad or maybe worse than the worldly music is. We cannot and we will not use the devil's methods to get God's message out. When we start mixing God's words with the devil's methods, we have a problem. When you start putting oatmeal raisin mix in with the brownies, you're going to have trouble. When you start putting lasagna ingredients in with the bread in the bread maker, you're going to have problems. It's not going to come out right. Everybody understand?
Yep.
You can't start mixing ingredients from one recipe to the other to get the same desired result. Well, we've got to cross the bridge and bring people over. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And in the process of being separate, they say, I don't want what the devil has. I do want what you have. Say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's man's religion. It makes sense to God. Do what God says. You see, your flesh is made out of the same dirt as my flesh. Your flesh and my flesh came from the same dirt. Now, Neil, your dirt's a little darker than my dirt. All right? But that's all right. He's topsoil. I'm down a little farther, amen? we won't have to bury you quite as deep, amen? But can I tell you something? Our flesh is made out of the same dirt. God does not command us to do what we cannot will ourselves to do. God doesn't say, do this, and he makes it impossible for you to do it. Well, I've listened to this so long, I just don't know that I could quit. Well, you can't, but you can tell yourself to, and you can. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't say this. Since it's all the same problem, we all have it. I just can't lose weight. Yes, you can. It's in direct proportion to what you pack down the pie hole.
Amen.
Period. Yeah. I don't care how many jumping jacks you do. When you eat 4 pounds of bonbons, you're going to have troubles.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Come on now. It's old me, not amen. But here we are. Uh-huh. You see... You say, what do you have to do? Tell yourself, no.
That's right.
No. And not just say it, but do it. All right? So, ingredient number one. Boy, I'm getting in trouble real fast here. Ingredient number one is giving thanks. Number two is singing praises. Number three is showing loving kindness every morning. Now, I'm excited about ingredient three. Some of you will not be. There's a couple words here I want you to see. The word loving kindness. You say, what does loving kindness mean? It means courtesy, goodness, or kindness. It means exactly what it says. Loving kindness. God says, now watch this. Here's the two key words to the whole thing. Show forth loving kindness. The word show forth means do loving kindness. Every morning. It didn't say every afternoon. It said every morning. Everybody doing all right? Now, come on, I'm about ready to plant the foot. So you ready? Start your day showing loving kindness. Well, I just wake up grumpy. Brother Don, could you push that door too? I think we've got somebody coming up for one of the businesses up here. I am so looking forward to the day we don't have to do that. You see, we are to start the day with courtesy. We're to start the day with kindness. We're to start the day showing people in the house in which we live love. We're to show God love every day. A little after, about 2 minutes after four when I got out of bed this morning and I finally figured out which way was up, I said, God, I love you. It's Sunday. And as I said, it's Sunday, my heart started getting a little faster. Blood started flowing. I said, I get to go to church. I get to preach today. God's going to be you and me working together today. I started getting more and more excited. You say, why? I was showing love and kindness. I showed love and kindness, but I'm not waking my wife up too. But, you know, so many of, well, I'm just not a morning person. Can I tell you something? That's you telling yourself too much that you're allowed to get away with a bad attitude. Now, I know for the first half hour, don't talk to her and she's okay. When she's ready, she's ready. Amen? I don't wake up grumpy. I let her sleep. You think I'm kidding? Now, wait a minute. Brother Barnes is snorting back there. He's afraid to say amen. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says, every morning show forth loving kindness. You want, let me bring it down to where we live. God didn't say every morning, get loving kindness. Receive loving kindness. He said, show it forth. I have fun every morning. Say why? Because I text about 80% of our church, and I've got about half a dozen preachers every day that we text back and forth. Before 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock ever gets here, I've told probably 75 to 100 people I love them. I do. You say, why? Because I'm trying to have a good day. Amen. And I got a heap of folks to love and show love to. You can't help but start off having a good day when you start telling people how much you love them. Good. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Don't start with the news.
Amen.
You don't need the sewer of ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or even Fox.
That's right. Amen.
How about you start it with showing loving kindness?
Amen.
You can get to the, pardon me, the vomit of the world later.
Amen.
But tell people you love them first. Show forth some loving kindness. When's the last time you told God you loved him? When's the last time you just took 10 minutes and just sat down and told God how much you loved him, why you loved him, and thank him for loving you, and just kind of have a date with God for a while? Everybody doing all right? Don't start with grumbling. Don't start with yelling at everybody because they're not doing what you want them to do, when you want them to do it, how you want them to do it, and got everything on that you want them to have on. How about we start with loving kindness? Some of us are so set into a routine that we've routined God right out of it. We've routined God and love right out of it. Now, I'm for schedule. I'm for everything being done at the right time, right way. I'm for that. But there is such a thing called love in the process. Everybody doing all right? Okay, now it's time to groan. It's not, you don't start the day with the snooze button so you can give into the flesh. Get up and show loving kindness. By the way, it's God's recipe, not mine. I didn't say it. I'm just the mail carrier. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. But I promise you this, God knows how to have a good day, do you? You see, God doesn't have to fight his sinful flesh. We do.
That's right.
God doesn't have to put up with sinful flesh around him that's his and the sinful desires that we have. So if we use his recipe, we can have a good day no matter what happens around us. Folks, I'm going to teach you something. I said it earlier. Brother Shane, your dirt is the same as Juan's. One's dirt's the same as Joe's. Joe's just got a bigger heap of it. And Joe's dirt is the same as, let's see here, as Dawn's. And Dawn's dirt's as dirty as Miss Lopez's dirt. We're all made out of dirt. Why do we want to compare ourselves with each other?
Amen.
Why do we want to get so bent out of shape that somebody's dirt's dirty? Did you catch that? Nadia, I'm proud of her. Nadia came to our church and gotten saved, and she's going to get baptized here real soon, and she's going to youth conference, and she's growing, and I'm proud of her. She hadn't been to church before she came here. She didn't know how to even somewhat behave in church, but that's okay. She's learned real good.
That's right.
Look at that smile. Now I'm embarrassing her. Now, wait a minute. A few months ago when she came, you couldn't have embarrassed her. Say, what is that? God. That's a sign of spirituality. The Bible calls it shamefacedness. And it's a good thing. Can I tell you something? Who cares what the dirt is? We're all made out of it. When we get to the point where we're comparing, well, Josh, my dirt's cleaner than your dirt. That's really spiritual, isn't it? Can I tell you something? Do you know what dirt is? Dead material.
That's right.
Living things that have died. What do you do to make dirt more productive? You put more death in it. You cut grass and throw it in there and roll it up. Throw your decomposed manure in it. Refuse breaks down, builds up the soils. Guess what? That's what you're made out of.
That's right.
So why do we get so stuck on ourselves that we're better than somebody else? Folks, we're all dirty, rotten, filthy, good-for-nothing, scum of the earth sinners.
Right.
None of us deserve anything but hell, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we trusted Christ and we're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
Whew. Past anything beyond that, it's all a bonus.
That's right.
Let's not lift ourselves above anybody. You don't know everybody else's problems. By the way, they don't know yours. I get accused sometimes. Well, you're just trying to sweep things under the rug. Well, it's under the blood. I don't have to put it under a rug.
Amen. That's right.
I don't need a rug. I got the blood. It covers up more than any rug. And by the way, you knowing about it isn't going to change it anyway. So why do you care? Everybody doing all right? When it's your sin, you're going to be glad somebody put it under the blood. Okay, that was my monthly. Number four. Fourth ingredient is show God's faithfulness every night. Look at verse number two again. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Can I tell you something? While you go through the day, why don't you list God's faithfulness to you? Lamentations chapter 3, it says, great is thy faithfulness. Can I tell you something? It's not great as my faithfulness. It's great as thy faithfulness. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it is God that's faithful. We're the unfaithful ones. When's the last time you thanked God that the sun came up and it set? When's the last time you thanked God that you had enough oxygen to breathe?
Amen.
Now, when I was 10, 11,000 feet in the mountains of Montana elk hunting, I was wondering if he was really there. Sucking air, man. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you thanked him for his faithfulness? Please don't take this the wrong way. God did not die. There's not a 7-day period go by in my life. I had one 7-day period go by in the last 5 years where I haven't gotten word about a death. One. But can I tell you something? Brother Randy, not one of those was God dying. Did you know that, and I don't mean this, please don't take this the wrong way, but just because somebody dies doesn't mean the sun doesn't come up tomorrow. Just because somebody dies doesn't mean the sun's not going down today. Just because somebody goes from this life to the next doesn't mean all the oxygen sucked out of the world and we're all going to die. So why do we allow those things to cause us to, in the external, to keep us from going forward in life? Too many of us let what happens around us keep us from living the life God intended. I didn't say you weren't going to cry. I didn't say you weren't going to hurt. I didn't say you wouldn't miss someone, but don't stop living.
Amen.
Good night. I miss Brother Stoltz. There's days I get mad at him because he died. Every time I've got a lead singing, I get upset. You say why? Because I miss Brother Stoltz. But I'm happy for Brother Stoltz. And he jumped in that shower and fell over dead with a heart attack and woke up in glory. And I'm happy for him. I'm still mad at him every once in a while. But guess what? Church didn't stop. He died on a Friday. We had church on Sunday. We had to run the bus route. And I called Mrs. Lopez and had to tell her. I said, look, I need your help. Whew. I had to. And please don't take this the wrong way, but as pastor, and I've known Brother Stoltz longer than anybody but maybe Mrs. Lopez and my wife in this room. I've known him almost 35 years. But we're in the middle of a building program. He was one of our deacons and signers. The very next day, I was meeting with our deacons and our board members about getting somebody to replace him because of our loan situation, and within 10 days we had to put on a new deacon and a board member on our church, and that's where Brother Sear came on. Legally, I had to make sure we were covered in case something came up. I didn't have time to sit there and mope about it. I had to move forward. I had to preach his funeral. My wife and I had to go to the funeral home with Susan and pick out caskets and make the arrangements, work with her on insurance, and on and on. My heart was grieving. You walk into the room about twice the size of this and go pick out the casket for someone. Whew. And Susan looks at you and says, I don't think I can do this. I said, yes, you can. I said, see that pink one? That's a good one. I said that. That's how I got her through the door. She said, I better go in there, Brother Bush. I said, yeah, you better. I said, I'm colorblind. Don't do this. And we got a little humor going. I wanted to sit outside the door and cry myself, just so you know. But I couldn't. In other words, God's faithful. Did you know? Our bus still ran this morning. Praise the Lord. Did you know we had visitors this morning? Do you know God's still blessing our church today? Do you know that God didn't die? God's faithful. So in the morning, you show forth loving kindness. In the evening, before you put your head down at night, why didn't you make a list of things that God was faithful about that day? And lastly, look at verse number 4. I love this and I'm done. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thine hands. Say, what's the fifth ingredient? Your work and your work for God. The Bible says that thou hast made me glad through thy works. Everybody look at me for a second. When's the last time you looked for God working in your life? One of our dear men this morning texted me and said, preacher, I'm on my way. He said, I spent time with God this morning, and man, sweet, I can't wait to get to church. That's somebody's having a good day. Say why? Because they're looking at God working in their life. Can I tell you something? When you start looking for God working in your life, I talk about tithing, and after you tithe, start looking for God's blessing on it. Why? It's not because it's not one of these you give and God gives things. It's when you start looking for the blessings, you'll start seeing the blessings. Too many people only see blessing as financial. God's blessings are more than financial. People are starting to grumble about their tax returns. Oh, I'm not getting as much back. Do you remember? President Trump signed a tax bill and changed the tax structure. They're also taking less out of your paycheck every week.
Amen.
That's why you're getting less back at the end of the year. Some of us have been so trained by the liberals that the government's got to give us back a big tax break that some of you are counting on it, and it's not there. You're supposed to live on what you make. Everybody doing okay? Your goal ought to be not to have any taken or not have as much taken out so that the government doesn't have that much of your money.
Zero balance.
That's it. Break even, you ought to be happy.
Amen.
That means you're just about where you should be.
That's right.
If you get money back, that means the government borrowed that much more all year from you.
They give you less back.
They don't give it all back, that's for sure. So sometimes it's having a smaller return means I did pretty good. Everybody doing all right?
That's right.
Let me ask you a question. Do you witness for the Lord daily? Do you tell somebody about Jesus daily? Do you pray for other people regularly? Do you invite somebody to church regularly? Do you read your Bible regularly? Do you help somebody that's in need regularly? Can I tell you how to show forth good works? Go out and do something.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you're at. You can show forth good works. You can sing. Man, I've been in the stores before, and I'm, you know, go to Sheets at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm... You know, nobody else around, and all of a sudden you turn around, and there's somebody standing there like this, waiting for the coffee. I remember one guy, he said, you're too happy for this hour of the morning. I said, if you knew what I know and who I know, you'd be happy too. He said, who do you know and what do you know? I said, I know God and I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And he just took his cup and he walked away.
Well, you know where he's going.
I thought. And the one lady working there, she said, I said, yeah, he must not know God or where he's going. Or maybe he does know where he's going. He's headed there. I don't know. I didn't say that. Can I tell you something? I don't let the world intimidate me. They get intimidated by me.
Amen.
And I'm not one of these weirdos that just runs around with a family-sized Bible stuck in my front pocket, you know. Bless God. There is a limit, folks, all right? You know, you're not supposed to be weird like that. But what's wrong with singing gospel songs? I was in Aldi's about 2 weeks ago getting some water or some protein bars or something or other. And I was going down the aisle and I was humming church song. And I'd say it was an older lady, but she was pretty elderly. And everything was kind of blocked. And I honestly didn't realize I was doing it out loud as I was. And she turned around and looked at me. She bumped me. I thought, uh-oh, what did I do? I said, excuse me? She said, that's a church song, isn't it? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I know that one. I said, good, hum it with me. We're standing there waiting on people to move, and we're humming songs. She said, you're a Christian. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I could tell. I loved it. Sometimes you get good reactions too, not just bad ones. Now, there are some people that you want to tell them where to go back to. But that's okay. I know where I'm going, and I can tell them where I'm going and how happy I am in the process. Let me say this, and I'm done. A recipe is something that if you follow it, it turns out right every time. I did not say that the weather would be good around it. I didn't say that all the circumstances around that day would be good. But isn't it amazing what you call a bad day and what God calls a good day are totally different things? God did not mention one thing that was external here. He mentioned everything that we are in what we do. And if you want to have a good day, first of all, you give thanks. Second of all, you sing praise. Third of all, you show loving kindness every morning. Fourth of all, you show his faithfulness every evening. And lastly, you do his work daily. If you look at verse 4 again, it says, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. See, it just sounds too simple, preacher. God had to make it simple so we could live it. It really isn't that complex. I gave you the ingredients. Now you have to make the recipe every day. Not the ones from the Waltons either. You have to develop the recipe daily. You have to, by the way, you can't skip an ingredient. You can't be the exception to it. You've got to follow it as written. Did you ever follow a recipe and think, that's a dumb way to do it. I'm going to do it this way. And you had to throw it away or wished you could. Say why? You did it your way, not by the recipe's way. You say, how do I have a good day, preacher? I just gave you the ingredients how you can have a good day every day of your life. Not mine, it's his. Say, what's a good day for you, preacher? Those things. Oh, I like the external things. I like it when the 10-point buck walks out and you shoot him and kill him and actually find him. I like it when good things happen. But I don't have good things happen every day. I don't have, matter of fact, every day probably bad things happen. And good things happen. And mediocre things happen. But may I say this, you can have a good day no matter what's happening. If you use the recipe, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed today, and that was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Virtually every hand. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begin to play. The piano begins to play. Why don't you move forward as far as you can or use your chair as an altar? And why don't you make things right between you and your Lord, and let's have a good day.